Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chobba P. Quinnell and I'm joined by Randall Andal Dandal Datsun.
Hello, I am King of the Andals. I am
and the first man
of his name. Actually, I'm probably the first Andrew in my family, actually. Yes, I am actually called Andrew, everyone. I know it's a bit of a shocker to a lot of people. It's weird that...
What?
You honestly have no idea how many people are shocked that my name isn't Andy. Andy is always short for Andrew. No one is born Andy. Because you can be... I think you can be born Joe and that sort of thing. But I think very, very few people are actually born Andy.
I knew a guy that was born as Toby rather than Tobias. Yeah.
The thing is, because... I didn't know anyone called Tobias until I was sort of secondary school, so I just assumed the guy called Toby was... I didn't realise that Tobias was a name.
Yeah. But also, anyway, hi, how's it going?
I'm pretty good, Peter. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. Mm. I'm excited to be talking about SmackDown again.
Yeah.
Favourite time of the week,
Saturday SmackDown, yeah.
Yeah, no, SmackDown Saturdays.
It's going to be good. I am very excited for SmackDown, obviously, but also I've got a spa day tomorrow. So
spa day?
I am looking forward to being rubbed... by either a male or female masseuse or masseur.
Mm-hmm.
That was the wrong order, masseur or masseuse. I've got a shoulder and back massage. Mm-hmm. I've got a facial and scalp.
Mm-hmm.
And then a 25-minute bonus, which just isn't. I just paid for a bonus. I'm making sure I pronounce that correctly. 25-minute bonus. we'll have to see what that is because
it's a long bonus.
Genuinely, just don't say what it is.
Well, that's really.
So I'm hoping
it's a happy
that
ending.
You can choose what it is. Me and the lady partner. That was my Christmas present to her. Disguised Christmas present.
Yep,
it's really for me.
Of course, yeah.
So yeah, but
don't
she
get
just,
those looks by doing nothing.
Yeah, she didn't get me a Switch either. So.
Let's stop talking about your
Switch.
What
are you doing?
What, this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely nothing, mate. I've set aside, I had plans with friends on Sunday, and I've actually cancelled those plans so I can do nothing. It's going
to
be great.
My flatmate has done the same. He's trained to be an accountant, so he's obviously got those exams that accountants do, and he's been basically revising for about 2 months, and then this is his first, he got his results this week. He passed all the exams.
Nice.
And then, so this weekend, he was going to play football, but basically went, I just want to do nothing all weekend.
Mm.
I would hate that. I mean, my brain can't take more than an hour or two not doing anything. But
well, when I say doing nothing, I'm not literally going to be sitting there doing nothing.
Just staring at a wall.
Like, I'm pretty sure my lady partner and I are still, going to go for a walk. I'm sure we've got a couple of things to do around the house.
Some gaming to do.
Yeah. Just hang out, watch a movie, stuff
high
like
fives.
That. Yeah. Loads of high fives.
Nice. It's hot.
Yeah. But I don't think we're going to do anything specific. Like, I was going to go out and meet up with friends, and that's just... That's mentally draining, man.
Yeah, well, at least you've got friends, Pete. I hang out with my parents.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you'd have more friends if you could add them on your Nintendo Switch.
That's true. Yeah. Or if I was less facially bruised, because I think people are put off by... good segue there. I think people are put off by my facial bruises.
Tell us about your facial bruise, Andy, because this is a good
story.
Stop
bringing attention to it. so I came on Wednesday... because I work Saturdays, obviously. Ooh. As you know, we get a day off in the week.
Yeah.
So this, because you generally get Monday off, but I kind of have to just pick whichever one works best for the website. So it just happened that last week was Wednesday. I also had a doctor's appointment. Unrelated. However, I'm really good at telling stories.
You're terrible at this.
So I was going for lunch with my dad. He's doing a master's up at the local university. Mm-hmm. So he was around for lunch. And what I normally do is park near the cathedral in Guildford, which is where I live. Oh, no, that's a terrible thing to say, isn't it? I'm from Guildford as well. I'm going to get emails. So I was asking him where he was exactly in the university, and he sent me his location, as you do on WhatsApp. So I was looking down at this and thought, okay, and now I know where he is. Looked up, and I walked directly into... a road sign, so that the corner of the road sign hit me under the eye, and I still have a small mark just under my eye.
It's not as bad as it was yesterday.
No, and the rest of it hit my forehead, which is still quite sore, which you can't see anymore. I'm very lucky in the fact that for some reason my body doesn't bruise very much. I mean, this isn't really a bruise, it's just a red mark.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and the most ironic thing about this whole thing was that the sign was for speed bumps. so I thought maybe if people want to send in their most ironic injuries to me, that could be a fun new segment on here. So Andy@wrestletalk.com, if you've got
someone hitting their head on a mind your head sign.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, just doing something that you know you're not supposed to do and getting injured anyway, like diving in the shallow end of a pool, running and slipping next to a pool.
Mm.
Pool-related injuries are always fun. but yeah,
sensing a theme here.
Any ironic injuries. Like, for example, I was cleaning underneath my fingernails with, you know, the little scraper you get with nail clippers.
Totally.
And then managed to just, like, stab myself under. So the thing that I was using to clean under my nails, I used to injure under my nails.
That
so
is.
I just get ironically injured a lot.
Speaking of nail clippers,
mm.
do you remember when we went to the Ring of Honor show and all of us got through security?
I have another nail clipper
except
story.
Except you. Except you, Datsun.
I was the only person, and we couldn't figure out why for ages. I was empty, because my mum used to get very angry at me because I put everything in my coat pockets. Mm-hmm. She's like, you wear a backpack, put stuff in there. But I just had the coat pockets, which were just full of just detritus and just my life for the probably last, there's layers of every month of the year. and eventually he was waving his like metal detecting wand over my pocket. And I pulled out some nail clippers. And they confiscated them because obviously I was going to run around shanking people with the clippers.
Hey, man, you just told a story of how you injured yourself some nail clippers.
So they confiscated it and told me to collect them at the end of the show. And obviously that was brilliantly embarrassing.
That was hilarious.
Excuse me, sir. Could you mind if I have some nail clippers back, please? Because I left them here at the beginning of the show.
And all of us. We're just laughing because it's the most Andy thing to just have some nail clippers with you when you go to a Ring of Honor show and get stopped by security.
This is probably a bad story. It's not really a bad story. But I used to have, as Ollie does, carry around a Swiss Army knife because you never know when you're going to need it for like screwdrivers and like a little knife or like little scissors. And I went to go and see, I was at the O2. I went to go and see a show at the O2. I think it might have been the Flight of the Conchords. And I realized that I had this in my pocket.
Mm.
So what I did, probably very sort of naughtily, was I just crammed my pocket with everything metal that I owned. So that, like, when he put his wand over my pocket, I kind of just pulled out, like, a bunch of metal things, and he was like, okay, yeah, they're all fine. And I just put them all back in again.
And you still had the Swiss Army knife.
And I still had the Swiss Army knife. Because I just bought it. And it was not cheap.
Yeah.
I didn't want to lose it. Like, I wanted to have this. And I still do have it now. And yeah. But this is one of those things also. It was kind of scary because he clearly was like, yeah, fine, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So now you've just informed everyone who listens to this podcast a very easy way to get dangerous things into events.
Don't know.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do what Andy did.
No.
Don't be Andy.
I'm telling this story so that other people don't do it. I'm not a role model. I'm the opposite of a role model.
That's correct.
A role minger. I don't know. Model.
What?
Model is the opposite of, I suppose, a minger. A minger is an ugly person for Americans. I don't think minger is a word in America.
Absolutely not. It's barely a word in English.
You never heard minger?
Of course I have.
Like munter.
That's so much worse and sounds way more offensive.
Mm.
Yeah, it does.
It's one of those words where you kind of go, if you say you're a munter, you kind of go, oh, I think I know what he's telling me I am now. It's like an onomatopoeia, but for a descriptive word. It's like if someone says the word moist, for example, which is everyone's favourite word. You immediately know, even if you weren't British, you would think, oh, that's a wet-sounding word. It's like sludge. You kind of know, oh, there's something disgusting about the word sludge.
This is an Andy podcast. Anyway, we should probably get into the main show, where we're going to be talking about Daniel Bryan outsmarting the Fiend. Here's the show. Let's get on to talking about SmackDown. Let's talk about Daniel Bryan and The Fiend. This kicked off this episode of SmackDown. Started off with the return of Kane.
Yes.
Which was announced beforehand.
It was.
So it wasn't a surprise necessarily. But it was super cool to see him. Haven't seen him in ages.
No.
And he came right out and he was like, hey, the Royal Rumble is like my favorite pay-per-view ever.
Yeah. Evisceration.
Fire.
Fire,
Brimstone.
Demon, I'm really good at it.
Yeah. He's got the most cumulative eliminations out of anyone in history,
yes,
which is still a cool record to have. And he says that he's going to go in the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Woohoo! Cool.
So we will get the inevitable, oh man, Kane's here. Oh,
Who could possibly eliminate him?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think if the Big Show's going to be in it, I mean, he's obviously going to win because no one's ever thrown him out.
No one can eliminate the Big Show.
Because he's so big. He's the world's largest athlete.
Who could ever eliminate the Big Show? But before he can get on to eviscerate any more of his competition, he gets interrupted by a Firefly Funhouse.
Yes, he does.
Which was mildly surprising, which was cool. And Bray Wyatt came on and he was like, oh, you should say sorry for all the people you've eliminated and all that stuff. And then he said, you know what, winning the Rumble might not even be the best idea, especially if you're going to come on and challenge me at WrestleMania. Whoa, you don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that either.
Yeah, no, definitely not Kane. But then he gets distracted because he notices that Kane's picture is on the wall behind him with all of the Fiend's victims.
Yeah.
And he says, well, if your picture's there, that means you and the Fiend got it on.
You've already met each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice that Kane's nose seemed to be bleeding?
Yeah, it does that all the time. I think it's the mask.
Okay.
It just makes his nose bleed all the time.
Oh.
It was like a really like common thing from when he was wrestling before, like a regular wrestler. His face would just be bleeding all the time.
It was just a single drop of blood.
His nose was incredibly sad. Yeah. But then Bray Wyatt gets very serious and he says, I'll never forgive you, Kane. And it flashes up with clips of the Inferno match that they had, which was Bray Wyatt's first main roster match against Kane. And he says, and neither will he. Obviously talking about the Fiend. And then in the ring, the lights cut out, and then the Fiend appears from under the ring. In the meantime, Kane has got out of the ring.
But this was all part of it, I think.
Yeah, it was all part of the ruse. Because I think Kane knew that he was going to come from under the ring. So he was standing there looking up at the ramp, where he never comes from, because Kane knew that he's going
to
be behind
him. Because that used to be Kane's thing. Kane used to come out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, well, I know what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So Kane's standing outside the ring, and he kind of, instead of going like the old, like Jerry Lawler and Kurt Angle did, he's not standing there going, what's behind me?
Yeah. He's just standing there waiting.
He's standing there waiting, kind of turns around and go, and yeah.
And then he says, like, what took you so long?
Yeah.
And that was it. He just turned around. And I really like that from Kane, where he turned around and just like didn't react to the Fiend being there. He was like,
He's a demon.
What took you so long? I was like, oh, that's cool. That's nice for Kane. And then The Fiend turns around in the ring, and suddenly it's Daniel Bryan. Hits a running knee from out of nowhere, and it forces The Fiend to actually retreat back into his hole that he came from.
Does a few of his stamps, on the face.
And then he's punching him as he goes away.
Crawls back into his hole.
Yeah. But then as he's going, gets a bit of comeuppance, he manages to pull out a couple of the dreadlocks from The Fiend as he's going.
Really hairy situation for The Fiend there. Unless they're doing a double bald thing now. Next week, yeah. The Fiend comes out and goes, oh, you pulled my hair out now.
Yeah.
It was a cool kind of mirroring spot from what happened to Brian.
I thought it was really good. I really, really like this. I like the fact that finally someone has kind of gotten the upper hand when it comes to The Fiend, because the way people have gotten the upper hand before was Seth Rollins burning down the funhouse, which wasn't that fun, contrary to the name. But this time it was literally he's mentally outsmarted The Fiend. He has literally goaded him out to the ring and beat him up. Yep. And he actually looked not weak, but he had to retreat from something instead of just absorbing punishment and then hitting a claw and leaving.
Yeah, and it kind of buys into this idea that Daniel Bryan is not just a fighter. He's sort of clever as well, and he actually thinks about his feuds before they sort of... He doesn't just run out there like everyone else has just done and go, where's The Fiend? Where's The Fiend? He could have... This was clearly planned with Kane in advance, because obviously they've got their Team Hell No allegiance. And after this, Kane went into the ring and started doing the yeses. It was just a really different way of doing this. Mm-hmm. And it's a match I am very much looking forward to.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think I would have looked forward to it even more if they hadn't added this stipulation.
I don't know how to feel about this stipulation. So this happened after an ad break, immediately after that segment ended. Brian and Kane are backstage, and they're arguing about who was the tag team champions back in the day, which I thought was very funny. They get interrupted by Caleb Braxton, and Kane just goes, all right, good luck, and walks off. And Daniel Bryan fires up, cuts a really fiery promo, talking about how he can beat The Fiend and all that stuff. But he's saying that, how do you beat someone who keeps running away? How do you beat someone who keeps disappearing? And he says, well, I challenge The Fiend to a strap match. So they're going to be tied together with a strap.
With a strap
on. So
The
Fiend...
The arm.
You. And saying that he can't disappear. He can't run away. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to be literally tied together in a strap match. I like the fact that this builds into The Fiend himself, because he does that. He appears, he attacks, he goes away. And that's his thing. I mean, he doesn't do that in his matches, which is a bit different, because he kind of just takes offense and then hits a move and then wins, which is slightly, different. But I like the fact that they're at least thinking about how it impacts the wrestlers in the match to have this stipulation. I'm not too thrilled about a strap match as a concept.
It completely depends how it's booked.
Yes.
Because there is, as we've seen in Bray Wyatt in the past, there was that horrible Randy Orton match with all the
House of Horrors,
with all the stuff on the canvas.
Oh, with the Mania match.
So,
for
example,
well,
if they did like a strap, and then the lights go off, and he turns back on, and the strap is tied to like Rambling Rabbit or something like that, and then you're going, oh, right, okay, this is where this is going.
Yeah,
there are ways you can make this match brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, you've got two of the most creative people on the planet in the match to do that. But there are ways you could make this really quite silly as well, because it's an unusual gimmick match and one we don't see very often, and therefore they need to make it something special. Otherwise people are going to go, well, that was a stupid idea in the first place.
Yes. So I don't know how I feel about the strap match as a whole. However, I said this in my edited review that's already gone up today as well. I have faith in Bryan and Wyatt to make it a very interesting match.
In Bryant. That wasn't really good.
I
like to think... The thing is, I really like fiery Daniel Bryan.
Same.
He had one of the biggest temple veins going on the whole time.
It's great.
I love it because you can't see it, but Caleb Braxton's just out of shot. All right, Daniel, I just asked if you were ready for the match. Obviously, we haven't actually seen The Fiend like accept the match, but presumably that's what's going to happen. They wouldn't have said it.
So
I guess that's it. You just sort of they're going to be roped together.
And I think as well, it really plays into what The Fiend was saying before, because he was saying on, I believe it was last week's show, it might have been the week before, when he was saying that The Fiend just wants to hurt Brian now. So maybe he really wants to have the strap match because he wants to be tied to Brian because he wants to beat the ever-loving S out of him.
Yes.
And I think, again, that kind of plays off both. It plays into The Fiend character of him disappearing and stuff, but also it might work completely against Brian because actually this time The Fiend doesn't want to go anywhere. He just wants to beat him up.
I would love it. I would love and hate it if it was like, I don't know, because you know the whole idea of like The Fiend teleporting and that sort of thing. If they did that, the lights all go out, The Fiend like teleports, or for Potter fans, apparates.
Ugh.
And then you just cut back and The Fiend's backstage and he's like, yes. And then just looks at his hand and Brian's still on the end of the rope and goes, oh, no. Forgot, because we're still connected. He just follow, although Daniel's kind of lying on the floor. Mate, you've just dragged me like miles. Or they do like the Bella spot where The Fiend's under the
twin
ring
magic,
and Daniel Bryan's just kind of looking at his wrist and going, "Well, he's clearly
under the ring."
As
that would be awful.
Yeah, exactly. Don't make it goofy. I'm giving you, obviously, Vince, you're watching.
Of course, he watches all our videos.
Don't do anything that I'm saying. Make it good, or just. Be honest, don't touch it. Let them book it.
Yeah.
And will we all be happy, I think.
Exactly, yes. Overall, though, I thought this was a cool segment. I'm still really looking forward to their match, despite possibly a corny gimmick. I have faith in them to make it work. And yes. I feel like this story is really, really building organically. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how the match is different from previous Fiend matches.
Yes.
I think it's going to be really, really
good. But with Kane... who obviously appeared earlier. There was that image that is either real or just very well photoshopped of a match between Kane and The Fiend at the upcoming Super Showdown or whatever the Saudi Arabia
show is. Saudi Arabia show, yes.
I believe it's 27th of February. I don't want to see that match.
No, I don't think I do, but I think it's something that would...
The Saudi prince.
It's a Saudi show match. That's totally what it is.
That is. We are running out of people who will go to Saudi Arabia for us. Mm. And it's... Kane was around in the 90s, therefore. And we've seen Kane on these shows plenty of times in the past. I am of the personal belief that it was a fake advert, but kind of informed by the fact that Kane was returning last night. Kane's going to be in the Rumble, so I wouldn't be surprised if, for example, Wyatt defeats Brian at the Rumble, and then turns up in the Rumble just to throw out Kane or something like that, and then that builds to that. I think that's
quite easy.
They don't care about the Saudi shows. They make so much money out of them anyway. It doesn't matter. You could put Gilbert against James Ellsworth on it.
I just hope that they don't derail any other stories they've got with The Fiend by putting him against Kane. I'm at the very least, there's enough time.
Mask versus mask match.
That's a terrible stipulation because we've already seen Kane on Mask.
That's true.
For sure.
We do know what he looks like.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's see what you guys thought. Let's get into some Susu super chats. Joe Libro comes in to say, if The Fiend versus Kane happens, I'm fine with it as long as it's a stepping stone to Fiend versus Taker at WrestleMania in a title versus career match. I don't want to see that.
However, that is the only gimmick that would work in that match,
yes,
I think.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Because Undertaker has retired
several times.
Several more times than Casey Catanzaro at this point.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that match. I think it's one of those matches where it'd be cool. Everyone would be really into it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think everyone would be into the idea of it.
Yeah.
I don't think people would be into the
match. Imagine how long
the
entrances would take.
That'd be a lot.
It would be
long,
right. Up next is The Fiend versus The Undertaker. And then half an hour later, Undertaker would just be taking his hat off.
Yeah. See, I would be okay with it if The Fiend wins in under 5 minutes. I think if it goes longer than 5 minutes, it would drag and it wouldn't quite be the match that everyone wanted. But
exactly.
And I'd be okay with
but
that.
But also, I don't really want to see The Undertaker's career end with a mandible claw because it is quite an anticlimactic move.
That's true.
I don't want to see him lying there going,
If it was a Sister Abigail, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We got some other SmackDown-related super chats now. Tim Arndt says, I actually love that we're getting yet another Roman versus Corbin match. I know where my Royal Rumble piss break will be.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, Tim.
You know what? With the stipulation that got picked, which we'll talk about later on in the show, I think this can be a fun match. Smoke and mirrors. It could be a fun thing.
Yeah.
Just a load of weapon spots and stuff like that. Why not?
I'm going to give a stipulation for his piss. He can do it anywhere, just like the falls in this match.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah.
And we've got The Line Drive, who comes in with a hot, hot take here. He said, worth noting with the Otis, Mandy, Sonya storyline, there has never been a Mania wedding. Perhaps a big moment with a swerve to a Mandy, Sonya union with Otis letting the two marry after a Sonya confession. I mean, it's a hot take. No, I'm not going to lie to you. It's a hot take. I don't think it will happen. I don't know if I want it to happen even. And I think it would be a lot of people, especially with the way the story's going currently, I think people just want to see Otis and Mandy together.
I just want to see Otis in a slightly too small tux with a hat on.
Yes.
And then he's like, will you marry her? And you're like, yeah! that's what I want to see. I don't...
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't... That's not. I just really don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's a fun idea, and I like it when people kind of come up with new theories and things like that. Mm-hmm. But not this time.
Not this one. No. Final super chat for now. Just a general Rest Talk related one. Benny Sato #JusticeSurfer Randy Andy Datsun says Andy merch Lego. It's not Andy
it's
merch.
Not. This one is a Wonder Ollie T-shirt.
It's Wonder Ollie, which you can go buy WrestleTalkMerch.com.
Yeah. If you want, I'll just send you a plain white T-shirt and I can write Andy on it like Andy does
in Sharpie.
Like in Toy Story, yeah.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Yeah. So after that opening segment of Daniel Bryan and Kane and The Fiend, we got on to the in-ring return of one John Morrison, and he was facing Big E here, set up last week when it was Miz versus Kofi, and then John just flipped on to Big E.
Yeah, it did, and he has not aged a day.
Yeah.
He is identical.
Yes, he is.
And it helps that he was wearing the same gear and glasses.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have a pair of John Morrison spectacles.
Genuine, real.
I want to.
Absolutely not.
Can I just.
Genuine. John Morrison sunglasses.
They were thrown into the crowd at a show, I believe.
I think they were given
to
a fan of WrestleTalk who then sent them to us for whatever reason. Why didn't you keep them?
Do the slow motion punch thing.
Does he do someone with his other hand first and then go above?
Yeah.
I
mean, we look really cool either way, I think.
Mate, I'm wearing these for the rest of the review, I hope you know. Also, it's really distracting because these bits where the crosses are, you can't see out of them.
And those are in the middle.
They are. Mm. That's quite disorientating.
They're almost as good as Ollie's kind of mirror, like, spy glasses.
That's true, yeah. Those are the glasses that I got him for for the punishment. That was great. But anyway, we should talk about the most important thing in this match. Kofi Kingston's blonde now.
He is blonde.
Maybe now he'll get pushed by Vince. Vince loves his blondes.
He has been looking at Charlotte Flair for so long and thinking, huh, I think I know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I can't do that, so I'll get blonde.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, it was... thing is, he can pull it off because he's just,
totally.
Just a cool guy.
Yeah. Unlike this guy.
Yeah.
Right now.
So yeah, no, he is blonde. And
that's crazy.
And that's crazy.
That's crazy. You know, that's going to be a WrestleTalk.com article later.
Yeah.
And people are going to be like, oh my God, he's blonde!
If you want to start a wrestling news website, just write about people's haircuts, because you guys love that, apparently.
Apparently, yeah.
So thank you for reading all our stories about Liv Morgan getting new haircuts.
She's got new ring gear now.
She does. She wears shorts, and therefore, that's amazing.
Yeah. I thought this match was actually pretty cool. It was really nice to see John Morrison back, and I think he's got some new, cool offense.
I like the way he moves around the ring.
Yep.
He's just kicking and jumping around, diving around, sort of sliding underneath ropes, jumping over ropes. The only problem is Starship Pain.
Well, we'll come on to that in a little bit, because first off, I want to give a big shout out to this one spot in the match.
Okay.
Where Big E did a kick out. Straight into like a fall away slam position.
Mm.
So John Morrison was on top of him. Big E kicks out and just picks him up.
And he looks
and then just
angry.
Stands up. Yeah. And he was like, oh, that's cool. That's really, really cool. I thought John Morrison looked great. Big E looked great. But then the finish came when Morrison came back with a thumb to the eye that the referee missed. Miz was running some distraction. Kofi tried to get in the way.
What a heel.
And then Morrison hit a knee onto Big E and then hit Starship Pain. For the win. How do you feel about Starship Pain, Datsun?
Starship Pain is a rubbish move. I enjoyed most of this show.
Yeah.
But Starship Pain is crap. It is akin to Bailey to Belly, akin to the Storm Zero Riptide Tyler Driver in just the crappiest finish. The skull crushing finale, even.
Skull crushing finale is okay.
It's okay when people sell it properly, but
yeah.
There's so many times where people fall and just put their arms up so far away from the ground.
Well, see, that's the thing. You could say the tombstone is a bad finisher because sometimes when Rey Mysterio had it done to him, his head was like this far off the ground.
It's particularly bad when the Undertaker goes, oh, I'm putting him down, when the guy's just sort of holding on to him. Like, just let go. You'll be fine. It is basically he falls backwards very slowly while spinning and very rarely actually makes any contact.
I think the theory behind Starship Pain is good.
Mm.
It just never gets executed properly.
Yeah. It's not the worst finisher. I mean, because obviously you've got the Bailey to Belly, which is just
which is
rubbish.
Terrible. Yeah.
She's trying to kind of get over that knee slam thing she does.
Yeah.
But my least favorite currently is the Tyler Driver 97 / Storm Zero, because if you look closely, they get about this far off the ground. That is not a power slam. That is just a flip, and then you're on your back.
Yeah, which some people do during roll-up sequences.
Exactly. And it especially when you've got a slightly larger opponent, they don't get off the ground.
Or maybe.
And the Riptide is just a pump handle slam.
half pump handle.
Half pump handle slam. Exactly. It's half as good as a pump handle slam.
Yeah. To play devil's advocate here, perhaps...
You devil.
Yes, perhaps the theory of it is that the person doing the move, Tony Storm or Tyler Bate in this instance, is so strong that even on that much distance, they can slam them into the floor and it really hurts.
Just because they're short, you just can't. I'd have to defend them all. But Starship Pain, I think it. The thing with it is, it is just about physically impressive enough.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of twisty leg spinny thing that he does, yeah, to make it like a cool finisher. But if you unnecessarily overanalyze it like I do,
mm-hmm,
it doesn't look right. I mean, especially in this kind of 2020 era where you've got really impressive finishing moves. I just don't buy it, John Hennigan, Morrison, Mundo, Impact. What else is he? That's it, really.
I don't know. Wrestle. But anyway, now that we're not talking about Morrison, I'm going to take these off.
Good.
Yeah. And now no one has to look at them for the rest of the show. So after that match, which I thought was quite fun, we then got Robert Roode versus Roman Reigns match that will be the main event of the show was announced to whoever wins that match will get to dictate the stipulation for Reigns versus Corbin at the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Which is quite important. We then got a video package for the feud thus far, which was fine. We then got the Usos and Roman Reigns backstage saying, we're going
to
fight.
Talking in a way that no humans have ever talked to each other.
Never.
I just couldn't focus on anything they were saying.
No.
It was just all kind of like, yeah, it was just very, very upbeat, very babyface. And then...
Let's go, Us.
And then, yeah, and he's like, oh, welcome to the... And then they leave.
They just say welcome. They just go, welcome! And then walk off. And then it zooms in on Roman Reigns' face and he just goes, to the Uso Penitentiary. I wasn't a huge fan of it, but it's fine.
That's often how I leave conversations with my friends as well.
Welcome!
And then Pete walks off and then I just look at a camera. And then,
we do have several cameras, in fairness.
Yes, we do.
Then this leads into, I guess the Usos had to leave really quickly for this next match they had, which was the Usos versus the Revival, which was a match. It was a perfectly fine match. There was nothing wrong with it. It wasn't particularly boring, but it wasn't also particularly great either.
This
it
match
was a
was
match.
Was there to simply give the Usos a win.
Totally.
And every week that goes past, it feels like the Revival are on their way out.
Mm-hmm.
There was speculation that they were going to resign, but... Every time they lose, it's just kind of like they're there to lose now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've probably, if the reports are true, then we've got 3 months left. I hope you enjoy your last few weeks with the Revival.
Yes.
There is a slight rumor that they could be in for a Legends match at the Royal Rumble against
Harlem Heat,
which is... Stevie Ray and Booker T, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that would, again, be another way of, if you just have Harlem Heat squash the Revival, that's just a classic Vince sort of, you suck, here are some legends to beat you up.
Yeah, pretty much. Speaking of the Revival after that match, they're backstage, and they're saying that if the company won't change, they'll have to make a change.
Yeah.
So they're going to come back as fully-fledged comedy characters or something, I don't know.
They couldn't tell us what that change was because...
They got interrupted.
They did.
Because it was Bayley, Lacey Evans, and Sasha Banks that were brawling backstage. And you could hear them hear the ruckus, and the camera just went away from the Revival. And you saw all of them brawling, except Sasha was on the floor holding her ankle, and she was very injured. And then it was Lacey and Bayley kind of punching each other and stuff before they got pulled apart.
Did you say she hurt her bankle? I actually do prefer this, though, because it's much better than a sort of, something's happening backstage, and then they zoom to just a cameraman happened to be standing next to them fighting.
Yeah.
I much prefer it where it's kind of like, we're filming something else. Oh, what's that over there? Because that feels...
What's this commotion? Yes.
That feels a bit more real.
Bit more organic, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. That's more kayfabe.
Yeah. That storyline gets followed up on later on, but first... Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose are backstage.
They are.
Bloody love this story. Sonya turns to Mandy and says, can you ask Otis to come to ringside for my match against Alexa Bliss tonight? Because Mandy and Sonya are like, yeah, Fire and Desire 2020, we're going to be great. And then Mandy's like, wait, Otis, wait, what? Why? And Sonya's like, I get it. I get why you're being nice to him. And Mandy's just like, I mean, he's a sweet guy. And she's like, yeah, I know. He's a sweet guy. Like, wink. Yeah, sweet guy. I know what you mean. We can get him out there and he can be at ringside. And Mandy's like, I mean, I can ask him. Sure, maybe. I don't know if he'll do it. And then Sonya's like, hey, if you ask him,
he'll do it for you.
He'll
honey.
Do it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay. And then Sonya walks off and is getting ready for a match. This, I thought, was really good. This is such a simple story, but it's being told so well. So the insinuation, at least what I took from it anyway, this is what I took from it anyway, which I think is the correct take, is that Sonya thinks that Mandy is manipulating Otis in order to get Otis to help them get more wins.
Yes.
Because that's what happened last week, was Otis distracted Alexa Bliss, and then Mandy rolled up Alexa for the win. And then Sonya, last week, after that win, was celebrating with Mandy in the ring and looking at Otis like, that's interesting. I didn't think about that. So now this week, she's like, well, if Otis is at ringside for me, he can distract Alexa Bliss again, and I can win. That's the point of this whole thing. That's why Mandy is manipulating him so much.
So she, so at the end of the last match, she was kind of looking at him and went, oh, this could be a good idea.
You are terrible. You're awful.
Hope you enjoyed that one, everyone.
No one enjoyed that. But then, Sonya asks if she can have Otis at ringside later tonight. Mandy says she's going to ask.
Yes.
And the thing is, Mandy isn't manipulating him because she just really likes him because he's a sweetheart. I love this story. It's great. Bailey and Sasha are backstage in the trainer's room next, and Sasha has ice on her
bankle.
And they're saying that Sasha's injured. Adam Pearce comes up to them and is just like, hey, you need to go out there. And it's supposed to be Sasha versus Lacey tonight, but Sasha can't compete. So it's going to be Bailey instead. And Bailey's like, wait, what? Mm. And she's like, I'm not putting my title on the line. He said, it's a non-title match. But also it's next. She was like, what? I thought that Sasha and Bailey were really, really good here. Because when Adam Pearce was trying to explain, just like, hey, we've scheduled Sasha versus Lacey for the last 2 weeks and you haven't been here. And Sasha's like, that's not my fault. She like fired up and it was like, it felt kind of, it felt organic for those two to just kind of be reacting in the way they were. I thought it was really, really cool. They're really believable as kind of annoying the heels in that way.
Throwing tantrums on floors and things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm. Allegedly. But then we got that match next, which was Bayley versus Lacey Evans. Again, this was a non-title match.
Well, I got it out of order. When was the Sheamus thing?
That was after.
Okay.
That was after this match.
Yes.
Yes. So yeah, Bayley versus Lacey Evans. It might have been before this. I don't know. Bayley versus Lacey Evans, and Bayley is immediately running away from Lacey as the match starts. Lacey's really hamming it up as a face now. Come on, doing the pose and the salute and everything.
Everyone
on the
loves
entrance.
The salute.
Oh, I can't patriotism, man.
It is amazing.
It is. I thought, again, it was kind of similar to the Usos revival match. There wasn't anything super flashy about this match, but there wasn't anything wrong with it either. I thought it was it was smooth. There wasn't too many botches or anything. I thought it was fine.
That's what I was going to say. I kind of never really sort of thought about it, how much Lacey has improved since she debuted.
Totally.
If you remember, she debuted on the main roster. Was it the Rumble last year?
It was the Rumble.
Her the two first things she did in that match were two botches. She tried to do this like backflip over, or like this sort of flip over. Charlotte Flair fell over. Tried to do a kip up, fell over.
Yeah.
And now she just seems a much smoother worker.
Totally.
And she's much more over as she was much more over as a face than she ever was as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't have a Marine being heel, because that's just, I mean, obviously the Miz is the Marine 5. it was a good match. Well, no, it wasn't a good. It was a match.
It was a fine match.
And then Bayley just kind of stands up, runs forward, and just gets clocked
right in the face.
Or the woman's right, and that's it. And Corey Graves would not like this.
No, he wouldn't.
Because Corey Graves does not like champions being pinned by number one contenders before the championship match. And if there was
not
only a video that could explain more about his opinion.
Oh, wait, there is. It's called the WrestleTalk News. They went up late, earlier today. You should go watch it because I talk about that after my SmackDown review.
Yeah.
I also don't like it when champions get pinned
by
a challenger.
I don't like it unless there's like a really obvious distraction thing. But this was just a clean
she
loss
just won.
In... you could say, oh, Bayley was injured early in the show because she was going, ooh, my shoulder.
Yeah.
But that's not... I mean, you're...
Or she wasn't ready for the match.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was supposed to be Sasha and all that stuff. But that's just, not really a protection.
I would have preferred Bayley just get herself DQ'd. And it's not great, but it's better than having her just lose.
Better than just her losing,
lose clean to one move.
Yeah. And they're really protecting the women's right. And honestly, as much as it's just a punch, it's growing on me. I quite like it.
Mm.
The impact's quite cool.
It
is recognizable. It's distinct from normal punches.
Lacey Evans and Big Show.
Yeah.
Similar people.
Totally. Mm. Really similar people.
She's like, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Is that the Big Show or Lacey Evans?
That was
so
Lacey
similar.
Evans.
I actually quite like the woman's right now, and I never thought I'd say that, but I think it's actually getting over and I quite
and it
like
really
it.
It really works with her Patriot character that's saluting and
stuff.
Yeah,
of course. So now it's going to be Lacey Evans versus Bayley at the Royal Rumble. That's been confirmed now.
It has.
I really like the
graphics
be the
they're
match.
Using.
They're quite cool, aren't they? Yes. I like it. Up next, Alice Ashton is backstage. New woman backstage person.
Is it Mustafa Alice Ashton?
No.
Okay.
She's backstage with Shorty G.
Yes.
And Shorty G says...
Tell me about it, Shorty P.
Let's not make that stick. It says Sheamus is projecting his insecurities onto me, and he's a bully or whatever he says. It's the same thing that we've been hearing in every Shorty G.
I accepted that I am Shorty G. I am Shorty G, and I'm proud of being Shorty G. In walks Sheamus and goes, oh, where is he? He's so short.
Shorty G? I can't see him.
You're short. And then he goes, oh, there you are.
He's not Finn Balor.
He goes, oh, there you are. Shorty G.
Lower your voice by like an octave.
Oh, there you are, Shorty G. And he just goes, you're short, you're short, you're short, you're short, you're short, you're short. And then Shorty G goes, oh, that's annoying. And then pushes him.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. He cuts some terrible short jokes, which, again, it's not Sheamus' fault. I think he's trying, but terrible content given to him.
It's all right, man.
And Shorty G just fires
up. I know
up.
These affect you more than most feuds.
It's just so emotional, you know? He cuts some terrible short jokes, and then Shorty G fires up. I quite like this bit, though. Shorty G just kind of fired up and just took him down. Like, Olympic style, just literally tackled him to the floor. And
as long as they
off.
Don't repeat the big Cass feud with Daniel Bryan from last year. Sheamus come out and
or the Baron Corbin Shorty G feud.
Or just anyone who's tall, anyone who's short.
Yes. Or the Dash Wilder Shorty G feud. Yeah. Or any other Shorty G feud.
So Sheamus actually returned to the action this past Wednesday, didn't he, at the BT
That's
party.
Correct,
and he beat and United States champion Andrade. Obviously, they're on different brands, so that's not going to happen.
And also, I think he won probably because
he's British.
Well, he's Irish. He's not British, but he's from the British Isles. Mm. So they're like, oh, sort of close to hometown boy. We should give him a win.
I'm not going to say the islands in Britain. That would get me a lot of backlash.
Yes, it would.
Because it's not.
It's not. So I thought it was a cool way to end it with Shorty G actually kind of getting the one up on him instead of just being like,
but you
that
know,
made me
you
angry.
You know full well that Sheamus is going to beat him next week if they have a match.
I mean, the match has been confirmed at Royal Rumble between Sheamus and Shorty G.
That smells so badly like pre-show.
I want it to last 10 seconds and I want Sheamus to bro kick his head off.
Like Brian at Mania.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly like that. But without AJ Lee, kissing Shorty
AJ Lee
G beforehand.
Just return just to kiss Shorty just to kiss Shorty G.
Yeah, exactly.
No reason.
Backstage next, another backstage segment. You would have thought they'd have spaced these two out. Mm. Braun Strowman's back there with Kayda Braxton saying that he wants an IT title shot and he's happy to have it anytime, any place, next week, the Rumble, wherever. Don't care, give me an IT title shot, and then walks off. I thought this was a fine promo. He didn't stutter over his words or anything. I thought it was cool, got to the point, it was fiery. Thumbs up. Good stuff,
the
bro.
IC title is pretty cool.
That you are terrible today.
Fire.
No, you're not. You're the opposite of that. You're like the IC title.
Haha. Pretty cool.
Nope. Elias is in the ring next, and he's going to sing a song called Walking in Greensboro, because they were in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But then he gets...
Shout out to Nate Craver. He's from North Carolina.
Oh, he's just from North Carolina. I thought he might have been from Greensboro.
Hi, Nate.
Hey, Nate. But then he gets interrupted by Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Cesaro. Zayn says no to the Intercontinental Championship match. I thought he was hilarious here. Mm-hmm. He was saying, you know, Shinsuke is a man who's not afraid to fight at any time. So the answer is absolutely not, which I thought was funny. Yeah. And he reminds people, Shinsuke Nakamura actually won the Royal Rumble. I was like, oh yeah, he did.
That was 2 years ago.
It was 2018. I said it was 2017 in my edited video. It's 2018. Might be, y'all.
That's all right.
But yeah, that was a fun time, wasn't it? And then Elias sings a new song about that. Well, he tries to sing a new song about Sami Zayn and those lot.
But Sami's like, oh, man.
How dare you?
Stop it. Cesaro, go and show him what happens to people who disrespect us.
And then they all beat up Elias. And then Braun comes down to make the save. Sami Zayn runs away and he beats up both Shinsuke and Cesaro and stands tall. So that match is absolutely happening at the Rumble.
Yes.
It's not been confirmed yet, but it will happen.
I can just see it sort of Cesaro, Sami Zayn try and get involved. He fights them off. It looks like, and he gets hit with a Kinshasa. It looks like Braun's going to get pinned and then he powers out and then slams. Yeah, if Braun doesn't win this, I think it's a massive mistake.
Totally. Yeah, he really needs to win his first singles title at some point. I think now is a good time. It's way too late, but just
and
give him one, please.
There is that ever looming thought that Nakamura could be, I think his contract runs out at the end of this year.
Yeah, possibly.
So I think he'd be happy just to kind of let it happen.
Let it expire,
now, because he's run out of any momentum he ever had from winning the Royal Rumble.
That is true. Up next, we got a video package in memory of Soul Man Rocky Johnson, which was
very nice.
Lovely. It was really, really nice, showing just his career and The Rock inducting into the Hall of Fame and stuff like that. It was lovely stuff. Rest in peace, Soul Man. Then we got Sonya Deville versus Alexa Bliss.
Mm.
And Otis, or Heavy Machinery as a whole, do come down to be at ringside for Sonya Deville here.
Nikki Cross at ringside.
Don't do it.
She didn't even say anything. But
I mean,
go on, Alexa.
And
fight her.
Give us a subscribe.
Give us a subscribe.
If you haven't watched the Wrestle Talk news from yesterday, you should, because Nikki Cross is in it and she attempts to say, support Wrestle Talk, give us a subscribe.
Adorably.
And several times. It's really funny.
Yeah.
But I was
very disappointed that she didn't have anything to say in this show. I know.
I'm shocked she didn't get on the mic and just say, I got it. It's give us a subscribe.
That
would have been
rubbish.
Great.
Pete's on a gimmick infringement there, Pete.
I'm sorry that I can just do a better one than you. Sonya takes control early in this match with Mandy causing a bit of a distraction. And then, this isn't a long match, a little bit later on, Mandy tries to get involved again. Mm. This time she climbs to the top of the turnbuckle. Nikki Cross gets involved and like punches her off. And she's going to fall to the outside.
So, you could
but
say,
wait.
Mandy rose and then fell into the arms of Otis, who had the best facial expression that is... there have been some good facial expressions in this feud.
Mm-hmm.
If you just see a watch, if you see a still of this, it is... I don't laugh that much at wrestling, but this made me laugh so much.
Genuinely, Otis's facial expression here was the best thing on the show.
Mm.
Because when Mandy fell, Otis caught her, and his face just lit up like a Christmas tree. It was... He is... hilarious.
Want to reenact it?
No, I don't. Because I can't. I can't do it justice.
No.
So he literally, he catches Mandy Rose. His face lights up. And I was watching it in the office this morning. Luckily, I was by myself and there's not many people in the building on a Saturday. Because I literally burst out laughing and was clapping my hands like a seal. Because Otis is that funny. This was hilarious. His face as soon as he catches her, and like he does like the tongue rolling thing as well, I was like, oh my god, Otis, you're the greatest.
He's
person
so adorable
ever. He's so funny.
I
and
wanted
so
to be
good
Mandy Rose
push
at
him to the goddamn moon. Give him the WWE title. Make him beat Brock Lesnar. Have him at number two in the Rumble and eliminate Lesnar. Do everything for Otis. He's amazing. I love Otis so much.
Yes, it was very good. And then Sonya's like, what's going on out there?
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets rolled up.
She gets rolled up by Alexa Bliss. So
that's it.
In a reverse of what happened last week, Otis caused a distraction again, but this time it did not work in their favor.
But it wasn't his fault.
No.
It was really
Mandy's
Mandy who
fault.
Caused a distraction.
Yeah. But you know what's going to happen? Sonya's going to blame Otis. Mm. More tension for Fire and Desire, furthering the Otis story. And Mandy's going to split and join Otis and join Heavy Machinery. Ah, mm. Oh, man. I love this story. It's so dumb, but it's so simple. And it's so brilliant, mainly because of Otis. Bloody then, love Otis.
If you, it wasn't on the show, but there's a WWE.com exclusive video, which was one of the ladies, I think it was Kayla, talking to Otis and Tucker backstage. And it was just Otis kind of going, it felt so warm and nice having her in. I can't do Otis. I'm just going to do my
You're supposed to be good at impressions.
Oh, no. No, I can't do it. Basically, he was like, oh, it was so warm and nice, and I caught her to save her. And he was the whole time he was just rubbing his belly. And he was like, oh, my heart is so filled. Well, then Tucker's kind of like, mate, you just got to be careful. I know you like her, but just you got to be careful because you don't want to get too obsessed because, like, you know, just try and be yourself. Just don't worry too much. It'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole time he's just rubbing himself. I just love him.
He's
so
good.
We
got the perfect come down after that
because
It's Corbin, Ziggler, and Rude backstage, and they say if Rude wins this match, they can have all sorts of stipulations. They can humiliate Roman. They could make him bow down to the king, and it'll be glorious.
I'm not sure that's a stipulation.
Yeah.
A bow down to the king match.
You never know.
Sounds boring.
I mean, genuinely, if they have choice of stipulation, could they not make it the like Roman wins if he bows down to Corbin?
Mm.
That's the match.
Yeah. So I watched this show obviously this morning, but then I watched the highlights that WWE put on just because I went to see if they did any exclusive videos.
Yeah.
And if you click on the video of the main event match, the first thing you see is just 1 second, and then you've got Roman just diving face first through the barrier with this ridiculous spear. Absolutely no kind of care for himself. He just dives face first through the barrier, and it was brilliant.
It was
brilliant.
he goes for a spear through the barricade. Rude dodges out of the way, so he just straight through. And King
surprise,
Corbin then...
Surprise,
King Corbin comes out. Ad break.
Yeah.
Sure. And this is exactly what you'd expect from this match. It was Rude was getting dominated by Reigns. Corbin comes out. Ziggler comes out.
You need Corbin in the main event.
They get in control of Reigns. Usos come out to even the odds. And then the Usos do a double splash to Ziggler through the announce table, which was a cool little spot. And then Reigns spears Rude through the table set up in the corner. Yeah. And Reigns wins, everybody. Yay, that was fun. After the match then, because Reigns gets to pick the stipulation, Reigns goes for a Falls Count Anywhere match at the Royal Rumble. Now, there's a couple things to say about this. One, I'm quite excited for a Falls Count Anywhere match, simply because I think it can be very kind of smoke and mirrors, lots of weapon spots, lots of fun things brawling in the crowd, which for an uneventful match can make it a bit more exciting. However, in kayfabe, why would Roman pick a Falls Count Anywhere match which just allows Ziggler and Rude to get involved in the match? That makes no sense.
Obviously, the Usos can get involved as well, but because they're babyfaces, they won't get involved
until
other
the others
people
get involved.
Just to keep it kayfabe, I know if you've watched wrestling for more than 2 months, you will know that this doesn't work. But if he'd said it's a cage match or it's a Hell in a Cell match, obviously they can't do Hell in a Cell, but
because that only happens in October,
exactly. Just say steel cage match, and then there's at least the illusion that Rude and Ziggler won't be able to get in. They will. They could. They could just go through the door, which apparently just opens to anyone, or climb over the top, or go through the ring. Whatever. They can get in.
Yeah.
But at least the whole point of a steel cage match is, oh, they cannot get into this ring. But a full count anywhere match, they can do whatever they like. It's just a neat no DQ, but you don't have to pin them in the ring.
Yes. And you can just have... It's now just a 3-on-3 match rather than a 1-on-1.
I can see this ending with a spear through an item.
Yeah, or a spear off a thing.
The LED boards, through off the ramp into some things which have well-placed sparks, like spark cannons next to it.
Yeah.
So we go, oh my God!
Yep.
So, yeah. And then obviously that would help Roman selling later on in the Rumble, which is presumably what's going to happen.
Yeah, probably. And then he's going to win that as well, because it's going to be final three of Corbin, Lesnar, and Reigns. And Reigns is going to eliminate Lesnar and Corbin, and he's going to win and challenge the Fiend and heal on Master Fiend, and then that'll be the end of the Fiend at WrestleMania.
You can pretty much guarantee that isn't going to happen because Pete predicted it.
You know what? You're not wrong.
Yeah. Pete is the worst predictor in the history of Wrestle League. He has just...
I mean, that's not true, but I'm pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to... I could probably ask Nate to figure out who the person who's taken part in every single show who is at the bottom of Note to Self.
Might be me.
I'm going to do that.
Might be me, actually. But anyway, we've been talking for far too long about this. Overall, I thought this was a really good show. I thought that... The matches themselves were fine. There was nothing wrong with them inherently. And the stuff that was good was really good. I thought the Otis Mandy stuff is awesome and I love it. The Brian Fiend stuff, I love it. It's great. Overall, I gave this a low 4 out of 5.
Yeah, 3.5 out of 5, low 4. Yeah, it was a decent show. It'd be interesting to see how they do next Friday, because obviously it's now that it's just 2 days before the Rumble, the go-home show. So, interesting to see what happens.
We shall get into some Susu Super Chats now, or, in this case, Susu Super Chat. We've got one here from Marcus Roman, who just said, "Randy, your puns are terrible, but I love it."
I feel like that is the...
Stop loving it.
That is the general reaction I've found.
Yeah.
Thank you for loving them.
But also stop loving them, because then he keeps doing
unfortunately,
them.
Unfortunately, I'm away on a holiday for the next 2 weekends, so we will have Ollie here next weekend and then Luke. And then we might be changing up slightly, but I don't think I'm going anywhere. But
no.
So I'll be back in. I'll be back in about 3 weeks. Yes, enjoy being away from the puns. Maybe I can send a few into Ollie and Luke just to annoy Pete.
Yeah, you might do that, honestly. Yeah. So I have an email here, Andy. Before
it's about sludge.
Before you get into any more of your Andy thoughts, TM. We've got a WrestleTalk Get Better here from Jonathan Headman. Headmaster Jonathan Headman.
Oh, the brain, as he sometimes calls himself.
Yes. Who says, "Hello, my friend." So he sent this to you, who forwarded it to me. "Hello, my friend, and a good appropriate time of the day to you and Chopper."
Afternoon, I suppose.
So am I not your friend, Jonathan Headman?
I think it's
just Andy... just your friend?
It's because I replied to him. And actually, what I did with this was, you said, "Andy, can you forward that email to me?" And I went, "Yep." And then I just forwarded it to Jonathan.
To Jonathan instead of me, yes.
So he will now have a copy of his own email. So, Jonathan, I know you're probably listening. Sorry, I'm not very good at anything. But yeah, Pete, finish the email.
Yes. "I'm almost caught up on my backlog of podcasts. I just finished listening to the latest AEW one while at the gym. Speaking of which, segue, I had my latest weigh-in today, and I'm down another 5 pounds, which puts me at 377.4 pounds, which makes this a whopping total of 72.6 pounds lost in about 4 months. Anyway, say hi to everybody, and the hunt is still on to find work, but I'm getting better in the meantime. Take care, and man, this weekend's pay-per-view... picks totally bombed, lol."
Yeah.
"Take care, Jonathan."
A lot of people did not do well last weekend, including you.
Me!
Pete.
Including me!
In fact, and I'm not...
Before we get on to predictions and points and stuff, thank you for emailing in, Jonathan, and great stuff. Yes. Keep it going.
Keep going.
You're awesome. We love you all. I'm about to embark on my own WrestleTalk Get Better soon.
You are.
We'll come on to that after we talk about predictions. Talk about predictions. Go.
Yeah, well, as the king of predictions, and by which I mean I'm not very good at them, I just do them.
You rig it, is what you mean.
I rig them. Yeah. I rig them so that I come ninth or whatever.
Yes. So you don't come last, so you don't arouse suspicion. But obviously you don't put yourself first, because that would be way too obvious.
Well, the thing
is,
I was always thinking, maybe I should make myself last, because I'd always quite like to do the song. And then I saw how much work it took you, and I was like,
it's
also quite difficult to be as bad as you are.
Hey.
But I'm not going to name any names, but I had three, usually after a pay-per-view, we'll get emails from people saying, "Oh, I think my score... is wrong." I think can you just recheck my scores, because I've counted that I've done something else. I got three emails this week saying either that their score was wrong or that they hadn't got enough. My favourite was someone who said, oh, for whatever reason, my score didn't change over the week and I'm still on 18 points. I was like, oh, that's unusual. That doesn't normally happen. I checked as to why this had happened, and it turned out that they hadn't taken part in either NXT UK or Impact predictions. So mm-hmm. I emailed them saying, oh, didn't it look like you did that? He went, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And I just think, I just wondered, like, I just sometimes wonder, what did you expect? If you didn't take part in either prediction, why did you expect to have more points than before?
Hey, man, thank you so much. If Ollie and Luke could make bets and get 3 points out of nowhere,
that's true.
Maybe people expect more.
I just thought it was funny. I just thought, wow, thank you very much, sir. But let's talk about getting better, Pete.
No, let's talk about how terribly I did.
Oh, yeah.
For NXT UK and Impact.
You got...
I did awfully.
Well, I mean, the real killer for you was Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, you got
8 out of 21.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Before Wrestle Kingdom, you were 3 points clear at the top of the leaderboard. And then by the end of it, you were 5 points behind Laurie.
Yeah, who was first, right?
Yeah.
And I was first. 1 point in front of Ollie.
Yeah. See, because I'm an idiot, I keep miscounting. So it turns out that I had one more point than I thought I did. And mm-hmm. I rechecked and I did. But yeah, so I think Laurie and I are at the top, and then Luke, and then you just. I think you are now 1 point ahead of Ollie.
One point ahead of Ollie.
And yeah, and before Wrestle Kingdom, you were...
3 points clear.
Yeah, of Laurie, oh, but of, you were like Ollie, 6 points clear of Ollie.
Oh, easily. Yeah, totally.
It is astonishing how you have just, both of you have been consistently terrible.
I don't understand.
You started the first show, whatever that was, that would have been...
Survivor Series.
Survivor Series, yeah. Well, I think you got...
I killed Survivor Series,
I think
it was
you got
awesome.
Like 8 or something like that.
And somehow I still lost because of the stupid bet.
Yeah.
Idiots.
So that was funny.
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
And yeah, so we've got two shows to go. We've got Worlds Collide next weekend, and then obviously the Royal Rumble. So that is, I guess, that'll be about 15 points on offer.
Oh, God, it's a lot, yeah.
So I'm
guessing you'd predict a winner, and then are we going to have like bonus predictions?
We'll probably have
per
a bonus.
Rumble, or like, what are we going to do?
Rumble? No.
Can you, like, name a surprise entrant per Rumble?
Could be,
yeah, like
I think just name a surprise entrant in either Rumble. That's what we did last year.
Yeah.
And there will hopefully be, if it all goes well, a bit of a announcement to do with the Wrestle League. We are slightly changing, not the format, but we will be changing how it is done. It should make it much easier and much more visually appealing. And you'll hopefully be able to go back through the leagues and check your scores.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a bit more interactive for everyone.
Exactly, yeah. So hoping to just make it better. Speaking of getting better.
Whoa.
Oh, what a segue. Yeah, I'm about to embark on my own WrestleTalk Get Better sooner
rather
than later.
You are looking pretty fat.
I know, yeah. Mm. It's awful. But genuinely, I have put on a lot of weight, which I don't like.
Mm. How much weight have you put on? And how did you do it? Because I want to put on weight.
Well, you don't want to put on the weight that I've put on.
I want to put on some weight.
It's not healthy weight.
I have. You can. If I take my shirt off, you can see my ribs.
Yeah, I know.
I am not healthy.
But yeah, since when I was more in shape, I weighed about 60 kilos.
That's about
126 pounds.
Yeah, that's exactly how much I weigh currently.
Yeah. So I was about that when I was in pretty decent shape. It was when I was doing my parkour and I was active and stuff like that. When I signed up to my local GP when I moved to London, I weighed in and I was 70 kilos. So I'd put on 10 kilos of nothingness. I'd lost muscle mass and I'd gained fat.
But generally 70 kilos wouldn't be that unhealthy
for a man
your age.
That's the thing. 70 kilos is about an average weight for me. Because I was actually probably a little bit underweight before.
Oh, I am quite seriously underweight.
Oh, I know you are, yeah, because you're quite a bit taller than me. But now, even though I'm like an average weight, it's not like a healthy weight because it's a lot of fat and not much like muscle and stuff. So I'm going to change that. I've been eating way healthier as of late, bar like one day when I slacked.
You had nuts and
I'm having nuts and raisins for today. I had a load of cucumber sticks and carrot sticks and hummus Been having a lot more healthier food. My lady partner and I are both getting in on it. I've written myself a gym plan because I used to be a personal trainer, so I remember a thing or two about that. So I've written myself an entire gym plan, and I'm going to get back to the gym in the next week.
Nice.
And I'm just going to embark on it. So I'm going to possibly update people on a podcast every so often.
Well, two things.
Yeah.
First of all, you said more healthier, so that's a double.
More healthier.
And secondly, don't eat too many nuts. Eating too many nuts is quite a common cause of constipation.
Yes.
As I learned to my misfortune at university, where I did not go to the toilet for 3 days because I ate so many almonds while revising.
How did this podcast, whenever you're on it, end up
the
talking
about the splashback was
poop
incredible.
Every time.
It's a funny topic.
Every time.
It's something everyone can relate to. Everyone poos.
But everyone hates it, Datsun. Most people hate it.
I was just giving a public service announcement. Don't eat loads of almonds because you will not poo for 3 days.
That's nice. It's just a snack at work combined with my healthy lunch that I've been having.
Yes.
So it's okay.
I was trying to put on weight.
Yes.
And then I just realized this is incredibly expensive because basically I had to... So a male, human male, should eat around 2,000 calories a day.
Roughly, depending.
To kind of keep...
On average.
Stay weight. But because I'm got so little body fat, it doesn't really matter. I could eat one calorie and I just wouldn't lose weight.
Yeah.
But to gain weight, I was 3,100 calories because I'm so slim and because of the amount of exercise I do, I had to eat so much more.
Absolutely.
And to eat 3,000 calories is tremendously expensive.
Yes, it is.
Unless you just eat
Just eat pasta.
Well, exactly. But I don't just want to eat just plain pasta. I can just eat a stick of butter if I wanted to.
Do that instead. Yeah.
Drink butter. Like when I was at university, one of my flatmates' boyfriends was in the rugby team. And he was deciding to realized that when he got to university, a lot of the rugby team were quite a lot bigger than him. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to put on some weight. I just walked into the kitchen and he just had a plate. And there were 15 sausages on it.
Nice.
Not as little American thin wieners or like chipolatas. They were full fat English sausages. Mm-hmm. When he just had this pile of ketchup and he was just eating them.
And protein, man.
I just felt ill watching him because he was a perfectly attractive man, but the what he was eating made me feel ill.
Yes.
It was quite repulsive, and I had to leave the kitchen.
I wonder if there's a reason why you haven't put on too much weight. I get the feeling that maybe you just don't eat that much.
I don't.
Shocking,
girlfriend
really.
Gets very annoyed because I never finish what's on my plate.
Oh, dude!
But the thing is, I always really nearly finish what's on my plate. And then for some reason, I just go, nah, I'm not eating that last bit.
Oh my God, that's the worst.
I had a carbonara thing the other day.
Yeah.
And I just left 8 strands of pasta.
Why? Just eat it.
She grabbed the bowl and went, no, you're eating that. I was like, all right, mum.
That's how you start putting on weight. Just finish your food to start with. That would be a good start.
People of the internet, email me, tell me how to put on weight. Because I keep being sent things that aren't very helpful. But
Stop doing exercise.
Oh, I can't. My... brain needs it because if I don't do things, then I get incredibly. I just go mad.
Go ape.
I really do go ape.
Yeah.
If there's any good ideas, other than just eating butter and just downing whole milk, and just just getting a drip of beef dripping into my veins.
Beef drip. Beef dripping drip.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So any tips then. Send them on. Do a WrestleTalk get fatter for me. I would love some tips, and as would the lady partner, because she is sick of not having anything to lie on other than some xylophone ribs.
That is very mean, by the way, your lady partner.
Hey, it's true. I want to put on more
weight.
That's
not the point.
But I really struggle because I just don't eat. I get full very quickly. But she's like, no, she's like, you got to eat until you're uncomfortable. I was like,
yeah.
No, but then I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, I know, but that's how you put on weight. You need to expand your stomach.
I'm a man
that's
of leisure.
Point.
I'm hedonistic.
Anyway, yeah. We've spoken for way too long. So that's all the time we've got for this edition of the WrestleTalk
People
podcast. Thank you for listening, everyone. And we'll be back on Tuesday with Raw. We're going to be back on Thursday with AEW and NXT. And then we've got the Friday show, which isn't live anymore. And then we've got SmackDown again. And then it's Worlds Collide and Royal Rumble. And there's going to be a Royal Rumble review as well.
I will not be here for the next 2 weeks, I'm afraid, everyone.
Oh, yeah, you're off.
It'll be Ollie.
It's going to be me and Ollie, and then me and Luke.
Pete and Luke, and then from then on, I believe the kind of plan is to...
Well, we might change it. We'll see on the exact dates.
We'll have a look.
But the next two weeks,
it'll be Ollie and Luke and Pete, as I am in Wales, and then I'm in Dorset.
Yes.
And then I'll be back on the 8th of February.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for listening, everyone. I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.